Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Run like a wild man.
I want you to struggle and I want you wrestling with them angels.
Is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
All right. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. The correct Neville Arena time is 9:30 p.m. Your digital audio device is tuned into the Orange and Truth podcast. Happy 9th day of Christmas, 10th day of Christmas if you listen to this tomorrow when it gets posted. It is I, SenatorCrow2 on Twitter, SenatorCrow on Venmo, waiting for that Christmas money to come in. It's the other side of me, the rumor monger Ryan S. Starrett. The S stands for Castleton.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Hope we're done with ever playing Colin Castleton again.
We may never have to play that guy again. I wish him luck. He might play forever somewhere. Yeah. Or he might own a really, really good enterprise rental car in outside of Gainesville. Who knows? Either way, he's going to be successful in something. Because I think I like – anyway, we can get into
that. Is he going to go pro until we go to the sports?
I think he goes pro in basketball, but we'll get into that. Also joining us in place of the still on paternity leave AU chief, it is the Dr. Will McLaughlin of the McLaughlin Group. Doctor's in. How are you?
Dr. Swell, how about you?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing really good. I had a bacon, egg, and cheese on an everything bagel for dinner tonight. And that should be dinner most nights. It is so good. You put a little cream cheese? Man.
I like doing the bacon, egg, and cheese on sesame bagel at Big Blue.
Yeah. Shout out to Big Blue Bagel. If they ever wanted to sponsor the show, we would happily take your bagels. Although I don't live in town, so they have to ship me bagel chips, which I would take. I'm sure they'd be great. I was a big Tiger Milk guy. I'm sure that's very basic at Big Blue, but I always have enjoyed a Tiger Melt.
Is chicken salad the most Auburn thing?
Like, it's up there with Auburn chicken food. Fingers.
But I guess just chicken as a food. But
well, you did have chicken salad chick that started in Auburn too. Right. So yeah.
Here's the saddest thing. This is what this episode should be about. Is that the amount of catfish farms that exist in a 15-mile radius of the campus, and there is not a prevalence of catfish restaurants around town. There should be at least four catfish buffets in Auburn that are just absolute hammered down catfish spots.
We've got our chicken market covered. We've got our barbecue market covered. We've got our Mexican restaurant market covered. But where's the catfish? I'm with you. Yeah.
And the last really good catfish I had over there was in Alex City at some place right by the lake. And it was great because I like the fillets, but I also like whole fish. I like the whole fish fried with the fins and everything. Give me the tail. But, yeah, there's not – even fillets. There's not really a spot that's known for having the best catfish fillets.
There's Ezel's down in Phoenix City, but
– again, you're having to go a
little bit of a hike.
Yeah.
A little bit of a hike.
Yeah. That's the different time zone. You got to set your clock ahead to go to that spot.
It's all the way to work.
That's true. And there's
not usually going there for breakfast at 6:30 in the morning. But.
I had catfish and eggs for breakfast actually last week or 2 weeks ago. I was in, did Christmas. We went to St. Augustine, Florida I take like 2 weeks off, which is unheard of in my line of work around the holidays. And went to St. Augustine, Florida, which is an incredible place. And then went to Orlando, where my in-laws live, did Epcot, But on the way to Orlando, we stopped at the Blue Springs State Park where it has the manatees. Incredible time. Found some hole-in-the-wall breakfast joint. Had catfish and eggs. Terrific. And then drove to see my sister in Athens, Alabama for Christmas. Drove through Auburn. Didn't call Ryan because we didn't stop, but drive through. Did drive through, just up 280. Actually turned off, went and saw my old house, and then got back on 280. But
that little house put all that work in, and then immediately had to sell it.
And immediately sell it.
Yeah.
they painted the fence, it looks like, too. Looks good.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had a great time. It got snow. It was a good holiday. How about you guys? Y'all have good holidays?
Definitely. Got to go home, spend a couple days with my parents. Got to bring my grandmother down to the Florida game for her 80th birthday. So that was a good time. Spent New Year's up in Huntsville, seeing Squid and James, hanging out with Golson, all friends of the pod. So yeah, overall good holiday season.
I mean, I didn't call you, and I was in Auburn, and I didn't call James, and I was in Athens.
Yeah, I mean, Athens.
Huntsville adjacent.
Yeah, Huntsville adjacent, yeah.
But didn't have a lot of time. Also had the flu, turns out, that day, because I gave it to everybody in the family. Call. So it was a good time. Everybody had the flu because of me. Will, how about you, Dr. McLaughlin?
I was in Alabama for about 8 or 9 days, flew down, beat the winter weather. It got down to like 20, 25 in South Alabama, which for them is insanely cold. But
that is cold.
But, you know, there's been nights in Tennessee where it's been like that, so I'm kind of used to it at this point. So it wasn't too bad, but spent a lot of time with family, just kind of chilling, hanging out, watching basketball, you know. Yeah. So,
did you miss having a tender Tennessee Christmas? I don't know if you guys get that reference, but
oh, I do. I get that reference very much. No, not really. It's not the only Christmas for me, you know.
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
So Ryan, Christmas for Will is in
Tennessee
about,
Christmas is a Christmas song by the band Alabama. They have some good. They have some good Christmas songs. Christmas in Dixie. Thistle Hair, the Christmas Bear. Your Tennessee Christmas. I'm just
all I can say is you're filling in fantastically for Chief. He would be very proud of you.
It also is a song that appears on one of the all-time great Christmas albums called A Christmas Album by the one and only Amy Grant of early to mid-90s Christian contemporary music fame. That is a Christmas album that gets a ton of play in my house to this day. And Tender Tennessee Christmas is a must for the season. But yes, it also was sung by Fort Payne Zone, Alabama. You guys, we played a basketball game over the holidays. One of those great holiday hoopsgivings. It wasn't a hoopsgiving, though. Maybe it was. It was part of Toyota. It was a Toyota-thon hoopsgiving special.
Maybe Honda Days.
It was a Honda Days.
Holiday bleacher game, yeah.
It was a bleacher game, which are great, good and terrible. Good in that if you're not a student, you can get a chance to sit up close. Terrible in that it is technically a college basketball game. And so you kind of should play the games when there are kids at the college. That's a hot take.
I kind of hate the SEC starting the last week of December. They should start like tomorrow. You know,
yeah,
like
I agree with you.
We're tipping off. But at least we weren't like the Big East. I had a conference game on Christmas Day. Now, selfishly, I enjoyed it because it gave me a college basketball game to watch on Christmas Day. But
yeah, what are we doing? These are kids in college.
Exactly. I mean, it's not exactly the most ideal.
You come
thing,
here to play school, though, guys. Come on.
I know.
No, but they're also not getting paid to play on Christmas Day.
Yeah, I have mixed thoughts on it. I mean, like I said, selfishly, I enjoyed that, but. I get the – at least – I don't know. It's kind of weird for Fox to do – that was it was a Fox and Big East thing to have that game. So
I was Christmas watching Day. Luca on Christmas Day, as I am wont to do.
61-point Luca?
No, that was – Luca did that against the Knicks, like, right before Christmas Day was against LeBron, and he had like another, I think he had a 40-point triple-double against LeBron.
61 doesn't compare to what happened tonight. In
61, yeah. Tonight we had a 71-point game from Donovan Mitchell. Only the seventh player in NBA history to score 70 points, which is wild. Like that, there are more people who have walked on the moon than have scored 70 points in a regulation NBA game. Or not even regulation, just an NBA game.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He did it in overtime.
Yeah, it was an overtime game, which I think he had like 62 at the end of regulation. I may be wrong. I know that they needed every bit of it because they were down big and came back and won that game against the Bulls. So
more guys have thrown perfect games in the major leagues than have scored 70 in an NBA game. It is not easy to do because they play a lot of these games and it's not happening every year. Okay, Florida. We'll talk about Castleton because what you got to talk about. We'll talk about Florida. I personally am happy to be done with Castleton. However,
are we officially done with Castleton?
We're
though?
Not. We could play him again in the conference
SEC tournament. Yeah.
See, that's me. That's why I'm like not ready to say we're done. Done. Never have to see him again. It's like I tweeted after the game, like, hopefully that's the last time we play him. Me saying that means we'll see him in Nashville in March, which
right.
So I'm not ready to do that, but go ahead, Crow. I didn't mean
it's the last time he comes to Neville Arena. And we're not playing them in Gainesville. But I like Colin Castleton. I will say I have a healthy respect for his game. I think he does a lot of things that if you're a college basketball fan, he is the kind of guy you want to play big for your college basketball team.
No, he went 1-for-6 in this game.
Okay.
He was a non-factor scoring.
He was a non-factor scoring in this game, but his fingerprints were on the game still. His toe prints. His legacy is still part of the series. Every time we play Florida, he is the number one thing you think about is, what are we going to do with Colin Castleton?
Yeah, and that was the biggest worry going into this game with Florida was how was Auburn going to slow down Colin Castleton? Because you had last year, we played Florida twice in the regular season, and he dominated against Walker Kessler. I mean, you know, who's
– we had Kessler and Jabari last year.
Yeah.
I mean, this year, shout out to Janai Broome. Shout out to Cardwell. Cardwell really – acquitted himself much better against Castleton this year than he did last year. But I mean, he's like a Drew Timmy type college basketball star player to me. Like he's not, I don't foresee Colin Castleton having a 25-year or 10-year NBA career. He might make the league. He might not. He might play in Europe. He's going to play professional basketball. But he is a great college basketball player.
He's the kind of guy you'd love to have on your team, and if he's not on your team, you can't stand him.
Yeah, what was the guy's name for South Carolina that was there for 12 years?
Chrisella.
Yeah. Castle is if one of those guys, if you've got a guy on your team that other schools think has been there longer than you're allowed to be at your school, then he's one of those kind of guys. He is a Chris Silva type guy. We're like, this dude's been there too long. There's no way he has eligibility left. I feel like Alabama used to have those guys. They don't anymore, but they used to have guys like, how? This dude's still here? What's going on?
Well, the game plan was great against them, though. I mean, they shut them down. It was clear Florida wanted to run the offense through them, even at the end of the game, like we saw. I think it was both Florida games, or at least the road game, went down to the wire last year. And Auburn got the better of him this year in the end of game scenario.
We've talked about, you know, throughout this year, you know, from the word go, it's like a lot of these games Auburn's going to win this year, it's going to be because of their defense. And you got in a situation at the end of the game, Auburn needed to stop in the closing seconds. You knew who the ball was going to. And you know, they, you know, between Broome and Jalen, you know, they were able to make it hard on him, and Castleton turned the ball over, and then you know, Wendell went and got the layup there in the closing seconds to make it a 3-point game. But, you know, last year, you know, Gainesville was a 1-point game. So Auburn, Florida has been tight these last, you know, couple of matchups we've faced to get off against them. So, and anytime you can beat Florida, it's a big deal. It's a big deal, especially with, you know, if you think of the best teams in the SEC over the years, maybe not in the last couple of years, but over, you know, course of this century, the two standard bearers of this league has been Florida and Kentucky. You get a win over Florida, it's a big deal. So, I mean, they're 7-6, but this year, so, I mean, you can say what you want about how big of a win it is, but, you know, I think Florida's played a tough schedule. They've had a lot of newcomers. They've had, you know, first-year coach. They've, you know, they've played some really good teams this year, but, you know, that's a huge win for Auburn that, you know, in a league where you're going to need to protect home court because road wins are going to be very hard to come by. You had to have it, and Auburn was able to pull it out.
And as we saw during the week last week, I mean, not everybody was winning those games. Arkansas dropped one to LSU.
The only team that was on the road last week, Wednesday night, that won was Alabama at Mississippi State. Arkansas fell at LSU. Kentucky fell at Missouri. You know, Auburn beat Florida. The other game, which I'm blanking on right now, Tennessee did beat Ole Miss. So there was two road teams that won. But Tennessee had a scratch and claw to win that game. So, I mean, it's going to be tough to win on the road. So anytime you get a game at home, you've got to protect home court. And Auburn did that.
And what I think what we're both saying is that what Auburn has to do this season is kind of hold serve at home. Win your home games. Try to steal some road games in hostile environments. End up maybe winning a game in Nashville if you can. And then hope that's enough for a decent seed in the tournament. At which point, literally anything can happen. Auburn's team this year defensively is a lot like the Miami team that put Auburn out of the tournament last year, in that that's just kind of what they do. They just destroy you on defense. Yeah. I don't think we've got the talent offensively that Miami had, but.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's like, you're not like anybody that's looking for beautiful basketball from 3-4 years ago. You're going to score 80, 85 points a night. You're not getting it this year. It's not going to happen. Protect home court. Try to get a couple wins on the road. You also have a non-conference road game that's going to be a Q1 game at West Virginia, which I think going into the year, we didn't really think much of that game at all. So you have an opportunity there. Get to the tournament. I think the realistic expectation for this year's team was you lost two first-round draft picks to the NBA. Auburn was always going to take a step back this year, both from an offensive perspective, just because of the two guys you're losing. You know, defensively, Auburn's kind of kept that defensive, you know, prowess that they've had over the years. You know, they took Kessler and they replaced him with Janai Broome, which I want to say this about Janai Broome, because I think a lot of people were critical of him early in the season. You know, he dealt with this ankle injury, and it was clear that he wasn't 100%. You know, Janai Broome, his last couple games, has really started to emerge as the guy that we all thought would come into Auburn and put up the numbers he put up at Morehead State. You know, on the West Coast, he had, you know, an 18-8 game at 16-8 game at USC, 18-8 game at Washington, and then puts up 14-11 and puts the clamps down on Colin Castleton, who's been a thorn in Auburn's side the last couple of years. And, you know, BP challenged him, you know, because he BP made the statement that, you know, Castleton's been kicking our butts the last – and I'm editing that – but he's been kicking our butts the last couple of years, and Broome responded to the challenge, and you know took it personally, and they were able to you know hold him, like Ryan said earlier, to 1-6 shooting. So, but yeah, I mean this is not going to be the Auburn team that we've come to know and love the last few years. It's been an offensive juggernaut, hits a lot of threes. This is going to be a win ugly games, you know, on defense and get just enough shooting. So,
yeah. It is. It's interesting. We're kind of a different team. Although I think in the Auburn fans' defense, there are Auburn fans who are disappointed because I think we were sold a bill of goods for whatever reason that we were replacing two All-Americans with a one and done. Like a lot of people thought Treyor was a one and done.
Yeah.
And that is not – he's not playing, much less going to go to the NBA. Like, he's not playing this year. So I think to call him a one-and-done or a potential one-and-done is – I think that's disappointment, is that we didn't get the – we don't have a fabulous freshman that everyone's excited about. I think that's making people pissed off.
Yeah, and I mean, the freshman that everybody expected to be the guy this year, you know, has arthroscopic knee surgery 4 weeks before the season started, came back, you know, he tried to give it a go, but he's not there yet. And it's hard to put him in the rotation right now. Now that you're in the SEC play, you know, maybe he, you know, gets better, his knee gets better, and maybe down the road, February, hey, maybe he's 100%. You try to put him back out there, and you never know. He may come out and, you know, pull Jalen Williams like a few years ago. He came out of nowhere, seemingly, at the end of February and was a contributor. And who knows what would have happened if you get him in the NCAA tournament. I mean, it's possible. I mean, it's hard to play him right now, though, just, you know, because it's just – but he was supposed to be the guy, and he gets hurt. And, you know, injuries happen. But, you know, the one guy that – the freshman that's been the, you know, the biggest contributor so far is probably the least heralded freshman that came in last year in Trey Donaldson.
Man, you're not kidding. That kid has been – every game, the light is coming on more and more for Trey Donaldson.
Yeah.
And you can tell he's just an athlete who has – he's got more to him than just I'm going to be out-athleting everybody on the court. Because I thought he was going to be a football guy. Like, he was going to come in, play basketball, but then eventually go play.
Now, if you look at him from a defense perspective, a lot of times when his steals, and he goes up like a defensive back, like he played, two hands, will knock the ball down and steal the ball away. But dude's fearless. Dude is absolutely fearless and getting, you know, gets to the rim, is not afraid of contact at all. And, you know, at least the one solace you can take from non-conference play is Auburn was at least able to find a backup point guard that BP can trust to go out there and, you know, not be Wendell Green, but be able to play at a level similar to him, you know, because I think early in the season we didn't really think or know what Trey was going to be. You know, he didn't play a couple games, and I think people were kind of out and wondering if he was going to stay around, but he's found a role in this team. And, you know, my hope, and I think your hope too, I know you're a big Chance Westry fan.
I am.
We're all, you know, we all want Chance to be great, you know. And, you know, we want all these guys to be great. And so, I mean, hopefully he gets 100% healthy and, you know, he gets an opportunity and he takes advantage of it. So,
yeah, I'm convinced he's got the talent. But that's not – I'm convinced that at some point, because he's shown so many flashes early on, and you can tell he's not healthy.
Yeah.
But he was still – his vision is so good.
Yeah.
And he has a feel for the game. That I'm hoping that he gets healthy and Bruce is able to get him in the rotation at some point. And you never know what that looks like. Like you said, like you never know. Some guy might be off one night and Bruce is like, look, you got to go give us minutes because KD can't hit the broadside of a barn tonight.
Yeah.
Or KD can't stop anybody, which is what happened against Florida. I was like, all right, is Chance gonna get some run because KD is a liability on defense all of a sudden, which was was a weird thing that turned out to happen.
Yeah. That's definitely been an issue this year. And just, you know, you notice who's been closing games out here, you know. And I think the other guy too we haven't really talked about or mentioned down here is Chris Moore.
Yeah, man.
Simo has really stepped up this year, and you know, he's never going to be the guy that goes out and scores 20 points, but he's going to maybe not fill up the stat sheet with big numbers. But Chris Moore has made the little plays this year that's been huge in games, especially against Florida the other night. You know,
especially hitting corner threes.
Yeah. Like, you saw that coming, right?
You got to hit corner threes. That's like,
yeah.
The corner three is the shot of shots, because it can just change the way the defense has to space you out. And then everything else opens up if you can hit corner threes. If you can make consistently from the corners, all of a sudden you're making consistently from the block. It's going to make Jahni Broome's job and life so much easier if we can hit corner threes. All right, Will, tell me about the Georgia Bulldogs. Because that's next, yeah?
Yeah.
Worst team in basketball. Are they still the worst team in basketball?
No, they're definitely not still the worst team in basketball. You know, speaking of trying to steal games on the road, this is one Auburn needs to win. This is the game Auburn needs to steal on the road. Tom Crean, we miss you, buddy. No longer with the Georgia program. Mike White is now coaching. Mike White, you may remember, from Florida, who – I remember when that hire was made, like 15 minutes before Selection Sunday, and we were all like, what? How? Like, it was a very WTF kind of hire. But I'd say they've probably exceeded expectations a little bit so far. They're 10-3 on the year. Their three losses are to Wake Forest, UAB, and a 2-point loss at Georgia Tech. Their non-conference schedule, not spectacular, honestly. I think they scheduled a lot of games that they could win to kind of build up the confidence and get some wins under their belt. I'd say their best win is over Notre Dame. They won by 15 in Atlanta against the Irish. They've played some solid mid-majors, but definitely I think the Irish win is their biggest win so far this year. One of the few bright spots from last year, Kerryo Aquindo is back. He's leading the team, averaging about 14.5 a game. And then there's Terry Roberts, another guard, averaging also about 14 a game. Those are their two main scorers for them. But, you know, Mike White brought in a lot of transfers, you know, to try to rebuild this program because, quite frankly, you couldn't really go much further down than what Georgia was at last year. But, you know, other than that one bright game in the SEC against a team from a certain state that starts with an A, you know,
yeah.
You know, they were horrible in SEC play last year. They're an improved team, and I think people have to remember, too, they took Auburn to the limit last year in Athens. Auburn was very fortunate to get out of there with a 2-point win. So they're going to be ready for this one. Auburn has to come and step up, and, you know, obviously it's another Katie Johnson returns to Athens game. So, you know, we'll see what kind of game he has, and you know, for these Georgia kids, it's an opportunity to play in Georgia another time. And so, this is not going to be the Georgia team we saw last year. This is going to be a tough game that Auburn's got to be ready for, or they will not win this game. So,
yeah.
I truthfully haven't watched a ton of Georgia this year, but just, I mean, they really had nowhere to go but up. So,
I mean, they were so bad last year, and so bad the year before, even with Katie Johnson, that they literally could not have gotten any worse. So yeah. I still think Auburn's got more talent. If they can just get everybody on the same page, playing basketball where they love each other and just share the rock, move it around, find the open man, I think that Auburn wins a laugher. But then comes the hardest game of the year, the game that I've had circled since it was announced.
You and me both, my friend.
Because this, I think this Auburn is about to play the best team in the conference when they play the Arkansas Razorbacks.
Yeah. Yeah, I think honestly in the summertime, if you would have told me who I would have picked to win the SEC, I would have told you this year the Arkansas Razorbacks.
Oh, easy.
Because they have the most talented team. Granted, they have a lot of young pieces, but you know, if Jalen Williams would have come back, the Arkansas Jalen Williams would have come back, no doubt I would have picked Arkansas to win this league. I picked them to finish second behind UK. Whoops.
They have the most talent. They have the most talent on a non-Kentucky team that we've seen in the league since the Joakim Noah Florida teams. Like, I can't – they got three guys on this team that are as good of three guys as you're going to see in the league.
Yeah, all freshmen too.
All freshmen.
Well, one of them, we'll see if he plays. And it's the one that I think everybody was looking forward to seeing the most. You know, Nick Smith Jr. has been dealing with knee trouble, played about five games. They shut him down. There's not really an update on his status. We'll see if he plays Saturday. I'll be disappointed as a college basketball fan because I will actually be in Auburn for this game. I will be disappointed as a fan if I don't get to see him play because he's surely a one and done and he'll go to the NBA next year, I think. Definitely, most people think he's a top 10 pick. Likely this would be the only chance we get to see him play live. So personally, I'd love to see him healthy and playing. But that's a huge loss for them. I mean, even when he played, you know, he averaged 13 a game over, you know, his five games. But, you know, Arkansas actually, despite the talented freshmen that they've had, their leading scorer is a transfer from Wichita State, Ricky Council IV. He's averaging about 18 points a game.
Yeah.
And so he's really emerged as kind of their go-to guy, but they've got four guys in double figures, you know, Council, Nick Smith, and then, well, they have four guys, but one of them actually, Trayvon Brazil, was the fourth guy who is out for the year. So they've been dealing with injuries at Arkansas, you know, with all the talent that they have on that roster. You know, Smith's knee's a question mark. Brazil is out for the year. So, you know, but they still have, you know, talented freshman Anthony Black, Jordan Walsh. You know, in the paint, they've got the Mitchell brothers. Makai Mitchell is the primary big man for the Razorbacks this year. And then they still have Devo Davis. So Devo Davis is still there. But when I think of Arkansas, I think last year, you know, that was a game that Auburn, you know, the win streak ended in overtime. They stormed the court. Wendell Green, especially, is the guy that I think has been really looking forward to this game. He remembers mm-hmm. what happened last year. You know, there was the dunk at the end of the game, and I think it was Devo or somebody was hanging on the rim, and there's a photo with, like, Wendell, like, right under him when it happened,
yeah.
And Wendell's pissed. And so this team will be ready for them. And, you know, if I think of non-Kentucky teams in the SEC, as far as if you look at who Eric Musselman and Bruce Pearl recruit,
yeah.
If you look at, you know, the last three NCAA tournaments, who has gone the furthest in the NCAA tournament? Auburn yeah. went the furthest in 2019, and then the last 2 years, it's been the Razorbacks getting to the Elite Eight. If you look at the team that I worry the most about from a long-term perspective in this league, I'm not counting Kentucky, is Arkansas.
Oh,
we
for sure.
The same kind of kids. And oh, they've been sure. winning a lot of these battles. So, but I'm very excited and looking forward to getting down to Auburn and seeing Auburn, Arkansas. And like you, like this is probably the best, biggest home game of the year from a talent team perspective. I think it's the best team Auburn will play talent-wise.
Auburn's going to learn a lot about itself.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, this is that game where you figure out, okay, this is who we are. And the last thing we had of that was that Memphis game, and we learned a little bit about ourselves against Memphis, not all of it good.
Yeah.
And so hopefully we learn some better things about ourselves this year.
You know, and I think that Memphis game and then your two games on the West Coast, like Auburn got better. Auburn didn't win. Auburn only won one game out west, but they got better from that trip. But this is a big game for Auburn. You know, like I said earlier, that this is a revenge game. They want this game badly. I know the Auburn fan base wants this game badly. You're at home. You only get them once this year. Like, this is an opportunity to show the country, like, hey guys, we're still here. You know, because yeah. I think a lot of people, you know, Auburn won the SEC last year, lose two first round picks. They haven't exactly looked the most impressive in non-conference play. And a lot of people in the national media is like, oh, they're not good. They stink, you know. And so Auburn's kind of off the radar quite a bit. All the love's going to Tennessee, Alabama, Arkansas. So this is your opportunity to say, hey, guys, we're still the defending champs. We're still, you know, we're still here. And the one player that, you know, we harp on this all the time, Jalen Williams, please be more selfish. You're too good.
Yeah. Take some shots, man.
Like, you're too good. When you get the ball in the paint 10, 12 feet, you're almost automatic. Like, if Auburn's able to take advantage of that and get the ball to Jalen Moore, and he's been decent from three this year too. Like, he's been all around a solid player. Like, we need more from Jalen Williams. So big game for Auburn this weekend. If you can't tell, I'm excited to be back in Auburn. I hadn't been down there this year, so I'm very excited to get down there and see the jungle rocking Saturday night. So,
all right, man. Well, I think we lost Ryan due to some technical difficulties, and we apologize for that and the kind of disjointed nature of this episode. But happy to be back. We'll be back next week, hopefully, after a couple of dubs, to tell you some more about your Auburn Tigers. Have a War Eagle weekend.
War Eagle.